Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour. And in this special series of bodybuilding and fitness podcasts, I'm connecting you with the most passionate and interesting people in bodybuilding and fitness. And I have a special series of podcasts within the special series of podcasts where I am talking to some true legends of bodybuilding. And our first guest to bring to you is the real deal, Chris Cormier. Chris, how are you today, sir?
Doing great, Skip. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no. Special series. You're the first of the true legends, all building up to an event that's going to be happening in Santa Clara, the Legends Seminar, where it's going to be Chris here with Lee Haney, Rich Gaspari, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler, and Mike Christian, and I'll be there assisting the event with these true legends. That's quite an honor. So looking forward to that. And by the way, you know, Chris will be giving you his information if you want to book some time with him. He's really a man in demand, helping the new crop of bodybuilders and fitness people with their physiques. He's really busy, and we're going to talk about that with him. You want to get in, as you're hearing this podcast, if you're going to be in Santa Clara, you want to get in touch with Chris right away. So, Chris, you have come from what many people say was the best era, the most competitive era of bodybuilding, the 90s. When you look back now, I mean, you started as a real young man. How old were you when you started bodybuilding?
When I first started back in Palm Springs, California, as a 12-year-old looking to work out for, you know, various reasons of different sports, from football was my first love. And I was also a lot younger than my classmates because I started school early. So I, you know, I was a lot smaller in stature and I was, you know, a lot younger. So, you know, trying to catch up with my classmates with their size and their strength was one of my first thoughts.
Right, right.
And then I got into posing and all these different things at a super young age. So just learning I don't know, it's always had a connection and always had a fascination with muscle.
Right. Well, it's that mindset. You know, I was talking to what some people say is the greatest trainer, Charles Glass. And I asked him, who was he most impressed with, all the people he trained with? And he said, you and Flex Wheeler had the toughest mindset and were the hardest workers. And that's quite a compliment coming from Charles Glass, right? But, you know, that mindset, you know, you aren't the typical bodybuilder where, you know, you were skinny and you had sand kicked in your face. You were a great athlete pretty much since your younger days. I know you played sports in school, so you may have been younger, but you always did very well. Am I right?
Yes, I did. I pretty much excelled in most sports that I tried. I was a pretty good wrestler, had a collegiate career in scholarship to Cal State Bakersfield. And I also, you know, in football and track, I was also, you know, pretty substantial in both of those sports also. So it was, you know, bodybuilding, I don't know, I just always, it always stayed in my mind that I always loved the muscle at the end of the day.
Right.
And just to be able to, you know, but I was also very shy as a kid. So, you know, being a shy kid, but plus liking to excel.
Right, right.
In sports, it's kind of, you know, it actually made me not even do the competition when I was first, you know, I was going to compete as a 16-year-old, I chickened out of competing. I was so shy to get up there.
So when you chickened out, I'm curious, did you get all the way to the show, or was it a few weeks beforehand?
No, it was all the way to the show.
Right, it was the day of the show. You were ready, you were shaved and everything, and you just didn't go on stage. Was that it?
Yeah, but you know, back then, you know, my preparation was only a couple of weeks anyway.
So. Okay, so it wasn't that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, it was. I wasn't like all dieted down, but you know, as a teenager, you think you dieted down because you got some abs showing, and you're like, oh, I'm good enough to go.
Cause, right, right.
So well, it was just. It was a long time ago, so the mid-80s, you know, was when I was going to do it. But, you know, actually I've been watching the sport since 1983 when Lee Haney was just starting to win his championships at the Mr. Olympia. But I went to my first competition in 1983, and Sean Ray was there, of course, and Mike Christian was Mr. California that year, so he was the guest poser. So that was... the first bodybuilder I seen on stage in front of me, like, wow, this is something.
Yeah, I'm curious at that age, and I know you were around gyms and with your sports, but what brought you to that first show? What events or who was it that brought you to that first show?
My high school teacher. Oh, okay. She was the one brought it to my attention that I had a very distinctive body shape that I should probably look into competing. And I was like, oh, you me? I was like, what? So I was, yeah, she said, yeah, I think you'd be a great bodybuilder. She thought that her boyfriend could teach me some poses, the compulsory poses, and give me the some little tips on, you know, making this happen. And she thought that it would be a good idea that I go to the competition at my high school that year, Palm Springs High, where Mike Christian was going to guest pose.
Right, and so how old were you then, Chris?
I was 15, 16 years old, 15.
Now, did she see all that? Did you stay in touch? Did she see what you became in the bodybuilding world and come to your shows as a champion?
No, I heard that she had moved to Florida, but she was aware of what I was doing because she kept up, you know, in the magazine afterwards. Yeah. But because I seen the guy when I was a professional, her boyfriend at the time, I seen him again in one of the gyms out in down at that Metrex gym down at Huntington. So I, you know, down in Newport, I mean, I seen him, and he said that he had spoke to her that they were watching me and that they're, you know, proud of what I...
Yeah, that's got to be a cool experience for them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have those mentors in our lives that without them, our lives going shifting, you know, in a whole different direction. And I'm sure with your career, your long career, and especially what you're doing now, Chris, I'm sure you're having that impact on the younger guys who are bodybuilding and training right now. And we're going to get to that. So, but you were successful. You were the light heavyweight champion at the Teen Nationals. You got into a position where you were training with the legend Robbie Robinson. I mean, bodybuilding has been your life, your entire life, hasn't it?
My entire life. I've been an NPC, you know, since I was 17. I actually got on stage when I was 17. And that was, you know, it was pretty, I still have the photo. Sean Ray was raising my hand. At the first show I was in. And so we stayed, you know, friends like all those years. But I've been pretty close to, you know, Jim Mannion was at the competition when I made my teenage national appearance. But also I went for the state title when I was 18 also, and I took third. So I competed in like in seven competitions, you know, because in California in the 80s, we had like a flu of competitions like every week. It was something going on, whether it was Southern California, then Northern California, then the California. You can also, we didn't have, you know, we didn't have internet, but we had the magazines and we had, so everyone was super involved in whatever information they can get. So, you know, it was, everyone read about everyone. And the funny thing is everyone knew about everybody.
Right.
As far as we knew every pro on the circuit. We knew every national leading competitor because we only had two different categories, the men bodybuilding and women's bodybuilding. So It was a smaller net.
Right, you know, right.
Of people.
And so only the select few got any type of exposure. There was, like you said, no internet. Now the internet has opened it so much to so many different bodybuilding personalities. It's watered down the pool. But back in those days, I mean, you were the elite of the elite, and you got everybody in the world knowing all about you special few guys. That's awesome. Chris, you did so many contests. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to tell you, as a fan of yours for so many years, And this is strange coming from a bodybuilder itself who did all that work for contests and you know how hard it is to get in shape and things like that. But it's almost like I took you for granted. You just did all these shows and you always looked so great and you won so many titles, right? I guess in my mind it was like it must have been so easy for you, right? I mean, man, what was life like doing all those shows? What did you give up? I mean, when you look back, you know, those got have to be some, you know, golden years of your life. I mean, when you hear, you know, MC Hammer song or some that beat from the 90s, I mean, your heart must flutter in a whole crazy kind of nostalgic way. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, big time. That played a large piece of my life was hip hop. And I also was, you know, because, you know, back then, you know, someone could do a competition and you do a poser routine, and you went through a whole 3 to 5 minute worth of work in a poser routine, if you remember.
Yeah.
And it meant a lot. So, you know, coming from Palm Springs, I would travel up to Orange County where Sean Ray was. It was because he was like the guy,
right?
You know,
yeah,
especially as a teenage. And
professional and so polished. And I mean, I did a podcast in this special series leading up to the Legend Seminar in Santa Clara. I'll do another one with Sean. But yeah, he was just professional just from day one, right? I mean, we all learned how to conduct ourselves as business people in bodybuilding because of Sean. So I know what you saw in him.
Yeah, and to be in, even when I was in high school, I was one of the top wrestlers in the state. So I went to a lot of high schools to do tournaments. And I remember seeing him at El Dorado High sitting on the bench, and I was like, dang, it's Sean Ray right there.
Yeah.
I was just going into the locker room to go weigh in. And I remember seeing him there and then seeing him in Palm Springs and all that stuff for different competitions. So we became friends at a young age. And I used to talk to Sean a lot on the phone. I'm talking for hours at a time. You know Sean can really talk.
Yeah.
So I'd be on the phone with him for a long time, many hours, many nights we'd talk. And I just learning different things from him and different – I wanted to know what he thought about different things and how he would handle different things. So we had a lot of conversations when I was a teenager. He was talking to me about, like, Tiger Woods at the time, how bodybuilders think, you know – they like to do one show a year, three shows a year, and a lot of these, then you see Tiger Woods on the tour, just like, boom, boom, he had another show. So I kind of like took that as, I could be like Tiger Woods, I could compete, I don't have to wait year after year. But then I made my way into almost averaging 10 competitions a year, which was a lot. You know, but
I got to tell you, on the Iron Man stage, I mean, that lighting was made for you and your physique.
I know, man. As I look back, I'm upset with myself that I didn't just keep doing it. I remember one time when I didn't want to do it just because I thought it was holding me back from winning in the Arnold Classic. And so I sat in the crowd ready to go. I could have just stepped on stage and won it, but I even reached out to Dexter and said, hey, why don't you come up here and do this Iron Man? I'm not doing it. He didn't believe that I wasn't doing it. So I had to like, no, I'm not going to do it for real. I'm not. I'm going to be in the audience watching, but I'm not going to do it. And that's the year he came and won. I should have just totally just demolished it because I didn't even have to do much as far as the way the lights hit my style of physique.
I mean, it couldn't have been better for your physique. You know what I mean?
I don't know why, but those lights made me look like no one could hardly beat me. I beat a lot of actual Mr. Olympia winners and contenders on that stage with no problem.
Yeah. How many pro wins altogether? Because you did a lot of shows. You had a lot of wins, too.
Yeah. I'm.
You don't even know?
I think it was at least 12.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah. I had a ton of seconds and a ton of thirds. With the seconds, really probably the seconds and thirds probably mounted up to between 36 and 40 seconds. And you know, a lot of those went to Kevin, and a couple went to you know, Jay. And
right, you were in the best, most competitive era at that time.
It was you know, the top 3 and 4 and 5 could actually have been champions, depending on how you look at how you judge it yourself. But at such a subjective sport, it was something to behold, because you had so many different apples and oranges of a physique.
Right.
Even when Ronnie started winning, I took a lot of seconds to Ronnie, but you know, I was beating him a lot of the times before he made the jump to Miss Olympia.
Yeah.
So it was, but to be in that realm of great physiques and great competition, you know, just like I say, like that's, you know, the different striations you would see all over the body. I loved it.
Yeah.
I was so, you know, I just loved to see that look. And and then getting ready for the show and the mental warfare that went on with different competitors. Like Sean would always come in, like 5 weeks out, he'd make a visit to Venice, and he'd already be in shape. You could see the striations through his clothes. It's tight, and he liked to come in and mentally mess everybody up.
He'll
have a sweatshirt on, but he'll have these tights on that you could see everything. And you know, John, what's his name? John VA, what was his name?
Yeah,
I forgot his name, but you would see some different physiques in goals that would just trip you out, especially the physiques that stand out in the gym more so than the stage.
Right.
So, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, you had a great presentation on stage. You put your work in, just a beautiful poser. You know, getting back to that music and you know, how it brings you back in nostalgia. Tell me, what's the one song that just reminds you of you at your best when you think about it on stage? Was there that one posing routine that you can think of, that one song?
I liked the Fire and Desire by
Rick James,
Rick James and Tina Marie.
Right. Yeah,
that one was I put in a lot of work in that one. I had also my first pro show was with the theme from Terminator. Yeah, I think it was a theme from Terminator. Yeah, it was Arnold. It was something that Arnold's movie or Conan, that's what it was.
So when you hear those songs, do you just can't help but go into your posing routine?
Oh yeah, for sure. And then my other one was the last one was 1999 Miss Olympia. That one was pretty special for me because it was Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson. You know, that gonna make, and I was just grooving, and it was just like I was just in a zone, man. That whole competition, I was in such a zone that, you know, you'd have, you know, those perfect competitions where like your water was right, you felt healthy, you looked awesome, you hit every shot dead on, from the compulsory poses at the prejudging, all the way to the night show, every step was right on, nothing ever like was wrong. Like the whole show was just perfect for
right,
me.
Right.
That's the show that you want, you know.
And you know all the pain and the agony that goes into it, and all the worry. Then you walk off the stage and go, "Yeah, I knew it all the time." Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And plus, before the show, I never like made a whole lot of predicaments, like not
predictions.
And I was like, but I was always like, I'm gunning for that top six. And as a rookie at that time with all the guys that was in the top six in Olympia, that was saying something.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Cause that's when they were all in Atlanta, Georgia, who had those 3 or 4 Mr. Olympias in a row at that one area, that one, place in Atlanta. You know, that was, you had Dorian looming around with his, you know, he was kind of making people discouraged to even compete the way he was looking when he first came out with that big look, you know. So to be there and to be in the top six, that was something special for me, in the top six again. And but then when I finally said, hey, I'm going to be in the top three, I'm not playing around. I'm going for the top spot. Like that's when 1999 came around, and I just did all I could to even come out of my shell even more and just come out with a big routine that was going to really turn some heads. You know, that was my idea of that competition that year.
Yeah, I'm just feeling the nostalgia and the love that you had for all that effort back then.
Oh man,
yeah.
You know, yeah, and people still talk about it today. You know, and it's a lot of people who are 20 some years old now. They were kids kind of when that was going on, but they all tell their kids, yeah, this guy right here, man, he was, you know, like that. So
yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Chris, and we're going to talk about that. I mean, I want to know about your best memories on stage, but also, you know, the whole bodybuilding experience. Like you said, I think that you created so many memories of our lives, that our lives are stamped for so many people around the world. And, you know, I know you do a lot of things to where people can get a piece of you and they can actually, you know, get in touch with you now that you're not competing, where you have that time. You've turned into a business. You talk about that longevity. You and Sean just keep on going, keep on giving back. So I want to talk about that. Before we take this break, I want you to look up Chris's websites, thegrind.guru, thegrind.guru. He's on Instagram at Chris Cormier 2, so that's CRISCORMIER, the number 2 on Instagram. And on Twitter, it is RD Cormier, and that's RD for the real deal, CORMIER. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the real deal.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is IFBB Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder Sean Ray. Join me and some of the other legends of the sport of bodybuilding, like 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, Hall of Famer Rich Kaspari, and Flex Wheeler, along with Chris Cormier, Mike Christian, and Skip LaCour at the Legends Seminar Saturday and Sunday, June 27th and 28th in Santa Clara, California at the San Jose Championships. Get up close and personal with these amazing champions and find out what made them great during their competitive days and what's driving them now as we continue to find out what they eat and what are they doing today. For more information about this Sean Ray production, make sure you go to legendseminar.com.
We are back in this bodybuilding and fitness podcast, and I am talking to the real deal, Chris Cormier. So, Chris, we were talking, going back in time about your greatest moments and that feel, and man, it was nice going back there with you. Thanks for all the memories, you know, and I know I'm not alone with all your fans across the world. Let me ask you something. Which contest, when you think you were at your best, whether you won or not, what contest sticks out in your mind as your best appearance on stage?
Well, I thought I was pretty happy with it wasn't until I turned pro, I think. But before that, I just always pressured myself so much into, okay, you know, I want to be a certain level of bodybuilder. I don't want to just be any type of anything. I wanted to be a professional at something, you know, from a child. I remember I was remembering my head when I was like maybe 2-3 years old. I just always told myself, I'm going to be a professional one day. I don't care what sport, what way. I want to be one of the best in the world. And I had different goals in my head from this day one. I want to be the best in the world before I'm 20. You know, I want to be the team. Because back then when they had like this, you know, I think Sean won the Worlds at 20 years old or something like that. But I was always, you know, wanting to see who else was it. I wanted to beat everybody I could, you know. It was something, you know, that drove me from a young age. But when I got to win the USA, I felt like I finally put my stamp on, like, this is the person I'm going to be, somebody to that they're going to have to deal with or wonder about when they get ready for a show, you know, that Mr. USA 1993. And it had so many good guys in that show. Like the top seven, I think, all went pro.
Oh,
that place behind me.
You have some of the legends that were there.
Yeah.
I know so Flex Wheeler was one, right? Who else was on that stage with
you? I trained with Flex. He won it at 92. I won it right after him, 93. Uh-huh. But we were training partners at the time. So it was, but we had Dennis Newman. He had took fifth, and he was pretty good back then. They had Mike Francois. He was second.
Right.
They had a couple of different guys that was just around the top of my head right now. But it was a lineup for something to see. You know.
Right.
It was something. And then, you know, and I lived very close there. I lived like 5 minutes away. So I felt like, you know, that show, I would train three times in one day. I didn't care what it took. I was going to not lose that show because I felt like if I didn't win that or I didn't win the California, you know, when I was actually like 22 years old. So I was like 24 years and almost 25 when I won that competition.
Uh-huh.
But I still pressured myself. Like, if I don't win it, then this is not for me.
Well, tell me, where did that drive come from? Tell me about your childhood. Did you get that, you know, from your parents? Is that, you know, from great conditions or challenging conditions? How did you develop such drive?
Yeah, I think my mom and dad, they kind of pushed me in a very, you know, to be we grew up in a neighborhood where it was all black, but they still like, I don't want this to be your end all here in this neighborhood. I want you to go out of the neighborhood, have friends outside of the neighborhood, or just to, you know, want to know what else is out there besides just Palm Springs in my neighborhood. And it was to travel the world like I did. You know, I was grooming myself from a young age, but I think they instilled in me from a young age to have discipline, to, you know, your coaches is like an extension of your parents type of thing. And
yeah,
I was, you know, so always.
So you had brothers and sisters growing up?
Yeah. Brothers and sisters. And my brother actually competed in bodybuilding. Rob, he won the state title.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Out of Idaho. And he actually competed again, you know, a couple of times, but his physique was exactly like mine. I thought we could have been, you know, the next brother tandem that can take on the world of bodybuilding, but he kind of like faded out at the end. He faded out at some point where he couldn't keep up with the discipline, with the food and stuff.
Sure.
But I also think wrestling, being a wrestler in high school, I took fourth in the state of California. But I won, like, I had like a record of like 94 and 17 before I went to college for wrestling, you know, through freestyle tournaments or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But just, you know, having to have a certain amount of food, limiting your food at a young age and understanding like, okay, I'm going to bed, I'm hungry, but this is what I want to do and this is the goal I have. Kind of, and all the hard work that goes into wrestling, it made bodybuilding a lot more easier for me. I felt like bodybuilding was like, man, that's easy. You
right, comparatively,
you get to eat also, and you get to look a certain way, but you really get to eat.
So were your parents hard driving? Were they strict disciplinarians, or did they lead by example? I mean,
all the above.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were strict as far as like, you know, I dressed a certain way. I wore the whole khakis and the whole crocus socks
throughout my life.
So I was dressing like that, but I didn't step too far out of line.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like when I got to, you know, going to school and, you know, it was little, you know, they didn't put up with a whole lot of mess outside of being a certain way.
Uh-huh.
But you know, my father, they would work. They would never not be on cue with their family and with, you know, working hard and doing. And my mother pushed me to she was like sort of my first sponsor, to where she was like, you know, that's Venice. If that's what you want to be, you need to go there and beat that, that person.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, she was like, and she kind of like, she was my first supporter as far as like, she sort of sponsored me. She didn't really care about me working or not. She wanted me to work towards my goal.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And wanted me to work. She wanted me to not get caught up in just taking just a regular, you know, daytime job and be stuck there at that job for years. She wanted me to go out and obtain and conquer.
Right. You know? Well, you've never really had a job, have you? I mean, and maybe I know that you worked at a nightclub. We all know about, you know, that type of thing. But
actually, I worked at a nightclub at Roxbury for a number of years, and me and Flex and Rico, we all worked there, my training partners. So we spent a lot of time either playing video games, training in the gym, eating at the firehouse, doing cardio together, or running off to work together. That was our thing for a number of years before we turned pro. But that was quite a life
because the magazines were really popular back then, and it was very limited. People just, I remember, you just can't wait to get your magazine.
Exactly.
Right? Back in those days, and even though you guys were the top amateurs, you guys got a lot of international recognition. You guys were living the Venice Beach dream for bodybuilders all around the world. That must have been quite a life.
as an amateur, it was kind of amazing because, you know, anything would happen, like, because all the magazine people worked out in our gym, so it was easy for us to, you know, to get this recognition. And then at the time on ESPN, you would get the muscle, what do they call that?
Muscle media?
It was
Muscle Mania. I know, Lose Wick, right?
Yeah. And so we were training, or like they'll talk about, and they started this East Coast, West Coast thing.
Right, right.
That was all who trained the hardest and what coast and all this stuff. And it was wild. It was funny. It was great times though, because back then, like, we had this thing with Kevin even, and we were over here with me and Flex and those guys. They over there, they had LQ.
Kevin Lavroni, for those of you.
Yeah, and they had LQ Gurley on the East Coast, and we'd see each other sometime, but then we'd be like training, we want to beat those guys from the East Coast. You know, it was just
it kind of mirrored the rap culture at the time too.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but we'd be in different continents, different countries, and we'd keep it up even on stage. Like me and Flex, we were the West Coast guy, and Vince Taylor and Kevin, they was like the East Coast guys, and so we were going at it, talking mess on stage as we compete. It was fun.
Do you just look back on those times and you know, getting older, phasing out of the competition, the new crop coming up? But do you ever look back and think, man, I lived the life back then, right? Oh, traveling around the world.
Yeah,
you
man, know, I loved it.
Yeah,
and you know, it was, and the thing was, you always wanted to know, are you one of those guys? You know. Can I, you know, because I always thought it would be just the greatest thing in the world just to be in the top 10.
Uh-huh.
So just being in the top 10, I'd be happy with that, you know. And then once I got there, like, it just started out like little different goals. Like, I just wanted to be in a magazine at first.
Right, you know? right.
That happened before I turned 20. So I'm like, oh, well. And I thought I'd be satisfied with that. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to be well known in the sport. You know, I thought it'd be satisfied with that. I want to win this title again. I want to. You know, I want to see who else I could beat out there, or how many people in the world can I beat? How close to the top can I become? It just become like this thing that kept the fire burning over the years.
Yeah. Out of all those victories, of all the, you know, these great competitors, all these experiences, is there one experience that sticks out the most? Just, you know, if you look back and, wow, that was one of the greatest times I had.
It's a huge blur, you know.
Right, I get you.
but I know I wasn't one to like to get used to losing.
Uh-huh.
I took losses pretty hard. I think now that I look back, some of those Arnold Classics was special to me because, you know, Arnold started, he was like one of the top guys coming up when you were a kid and to be in this competition. And then the first class,
treatment,
treatment that you received. I mean, it was just a huge accomplishment to be always invited each year.
Uh-huh.
Had a close relation with Mr. Larmer, and now his son is taking the reins. So I'm still like, I know those guys on a personal level also. So it's you know, just to go there and to want to win that title. We had Maria Shriver right there in the audience, and her and the kids would come up and say, "Oh yeah, you're one of our favorites to watch." Or you know, all that stuff was just awesome to me. And then Susie Colbert was she interviewed me backstage at the Arnold. That was pretty amazing. That still stands out because I see her on with the football guys now, and it's like, man, I had an interview with her backstage at the Arnold. It was just, you know, awesome.
What about when you went to the movies and, you know, your name was, there was that, you know, movie with Denzel Washington and then the little kid. I'm a Chris Cormier, right? I mean, that had to have been just an amazing thrill, huh?
Yeah, I shed a tear when I heard that.
Oh, man.
Like, I went to the movies and saw it, and I was like, to hear your name called in a movie theater.
The kid actor was pretending he was you doing a...
He was...
And Denzel Washington kind of repeated his name, your name to him.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was great, son.
John Q was the name, right? Correct?
Yeah, John Q.
You guys get that on Netflix, right?
Yeah, that's... And then, you know, sometime I would go to a hotel and someone would ask me, are you Chris Cormier? Like, I remember this... this one valet guy, he was we was at the Ritz-Carlton. We were doing these things for Muscle Tech. So we'd stay there and doing these photo shoots. And so he's like, are you Chris Cormier? I said, yeah. And he goes, then give me one of these. And he hit it for us. That was pretty cool.
Let me ask you something. So, you know, you grew up Palm Springs, you know, you did your bodybuilding from a young age in the Mecca. You had all this greatness around you. And tell me some events where there was some famous person, maybe in the record industry or whatever, that you just thought was some superstar, and they knew who you were, right? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, man.
Tell me some of those experiences.
Well, like I was in Gold's one day, and I saw DMC. You know, everyone was a huge Run DMC,
right.
And I was like, he was like, oh man, that's Chris Cormier right there. I was like. And I was thinking to myself, Chris Cormier, you fucking, you're DMC.
Right.
Like, and to be, you know, he's from the East Coast also. He was like, that was pretty,
I don't know. That's when you know you arrived, even you.
Yeah.
You sound like a humble guy. Even you said, now I've arrived, right?
Yeah. Like DMC knew who I was? That's
crazy. Wow. That's amazing. Wow. I tell you something, as I get more and more removed from bodybuilding as we move on, and I want to get to that in the next segment, I gotta thank you, man. You're just bring me back. I'm feeling all the 90s in my body, and I hope our listeners are too, all right?
Yeah, it was amazing because, you know, just to have different people, and plus we were flying all over the world.
Yeah.
It was just amazing too. And that's another thing. I wanted to compete in all these different countries. I wanted to get out there. And to keep, in my mind, I'm thinking, we need to keep this sport going. We need to keep competing. Because if I'm not going to go on tour, because it would be like 4 shows in 4 days in 4 different countries. And that would be, that's how we start the tour every year. Like, boom, 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 boom.
Uh-huh.
You know, we go to Spain, we go to Germany, we go to England. And we'd go to another place right after England. Then we'd take 2 days off. Get our heads right, then we're flying somewhere else to go do 3 or more shows, Russia, and you know, it was just an awesome time, and it was I know they're doing more Arnolds in different countries now. It's a little bit, like you said, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different times now, but the way it was then was we were like rock stars, man. And to get off of, I remember we were late like 9 hours in an airport somewhere in Europe, and we were sitting there preparing for competition in the airport. So we were like eating our cards, we're checking the times, how much time we have. They're looking at, you know, okay, we got to stop eating now because when we get on the plane, we're not going to be able to even pump up. You know, we basically was putting on our posing trunks as we were like on the bus, you know, coming from the airport, because we had like no time to pump. He said no, and that's what they were saying. Like, we're gonna have no time to pump up. Just as soon as we get there, if you can throw in some oil, it'd be great. But most, I think we were putting oil on as we were standing there, because all the fans were waiting outside for us when we got there.
Yeah,
and it was like 5,000 people, to be honest with you, all waiting outside, and they all cheered as the bus pulled up, and they all cheered as we got off the bus and was walking into the venue. It was just like, that was some straight up Beatles stuff for me. I was like, that was, man, unreal. Yeah.
Awesome stuff. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come to the present. I'll thank you for taking us back to the past, right? All those great feelings. But, you know, you're really active and really helping out the up-and-coming bodybuilders, giving some of that old-school mindset and the strategies right here in the current. So we're going to come up to the present and, you know, let you guys out there see how you can benefit, how you can contact Chris to take your efforts to the next level. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health, when you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis. Go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back in this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast, the Legend Seminar Edition, with the real deal, Chris Cormier. So you can reach Chris at his website, thegrind.guru, all right? So that's not a .com, so let me spell that out, thegrind, T-H-E-G-R-I-N-D, .guru, G-U-R-U. On Instagram, he's Chris Cormier. Two, so CRISCORMIER, the number two, and on Twitter, it's at RD Cormier for the real deal, RDCORMIER. So let's talk about the projects that you've got going on. Tell me all about what are you doing right now? I know you've got your own system branded. Tell us all about the Warrior Challenge, first of all, Chris.
Yeah, the Warrior Challenge is something I came up with to be able to reach out and teach. And that's, you know, my favorite thing is to, I was really, really analytical. I used to work for Flex Magazine. I was analyzing the top pros in the world. You know, some of them liked it, some of them didn't like what I was saying, but you know, as the times went on, when we had a certain expectations of shape and size and what's too much, what Lee Haney used to say, you don't want to have too much quantity overlapping quality, that's the one I think that stuck in my mind when I was always competing. I want to be way up on a quality level, less on the quantity, like too much quantity of physique wise.
And, do you think that you won your shows because you were so balanced? You know, you've heard this argument before that you're way too balanced. It's like you didn't have that one body part that was freaky. It almost worked against you. I mean, you heard that before, right?
Say, but to me, when I read in the magazines or I read in my Arnold Schwarzenegger encyclopedia, that was one of the things you wanted to do.
Right, so, right. It's perfection,
so,
right?
So then when I got up there, because I started measuring every body part as a teenager, like I'm measuring my calves, I'm measuring my neck, my biceps, and I'm making sure as I grow that all of that's in my mind the whole time I'm training. So as a teenager growing up, it wasn't like on accident, obviously. Yeah. You don't just grow, you're just not going to be proportioned because you just proportioned as a kid. You know, you grow.
I don't think that a lot of times bodybuilders don't get credit that they focus so much on their physique, this sculpture, and that it's planned out. It's not just happening, you know what I mean?
I know. But I think people thought I would just like that. I said, no, I plan to look like that.
Right.
You know, so, and I think, today I with the Warrior Challenge, I implement all of these aspects as far as I'm taking the bodies, different body parts that we can add, almost like a artist would. And so I have them send me photos. I have them, I'm analyzing their workouts, their form. Because I think all of this stuff matters when you're building physique. You don't just go in and just lift weights. You gotta have a certain mindset of why you're doing this. What angle are you using? What tempo of the repetition are you using? All these different things. I see a lot of pros, amateurs, and beginners not having that same mindset. And
it's interesting that the magazines didn't really bring this part of you out because you had so much flavor and personality, right? And the physique and the time period. You know, I don't think this part was appreciated.
Well, I think also I was part of. You know, I had an ego. I had a, I was going with the big
weights.
Yeah, with the big weight thing. I wanted to feel like I wanted to do things that no one else could do. You know, I'm doing. You know, one of the things with when I train really hard and heavy, I wanted to just people would stop and they would look and watch because we were just slamming around 200 pound dumbbells, 500 some. Incline presses, 700 pound squats.
Yeah,
you know this stuff was going on on a regular basis. It wasn't like just once in a while, and all of that became something that they concentrated on back then. But it took it didn't that wasn't my mindset the whole time. But Skip, when I got a little older and I started getting a little bit wiser, and then I started toward the end of my career, you start thinking, okay, what can I do different? What can I make better? And it has to evolve into how I am now. That's now I feel like I mastered it.
Yeah.
I feel like a master now because I went through all the channels with Joe Weider, with, like you said, Robbie Robinson for a number of years. He's like my uncle. Gary Stratum, he was one of my training partners for a number of years. And all these guys mentored me. Joe Weider, they're all getting me my mindset to be a good professional, to master posing, to master the physique artistry, to be that proud soldier type, doing everything you can in the gym, at the dinner table, whatever it took to be a good bodybuilder. I wanted to master that, nutrition wise, to not, and I always kept in mind. Bodybuilding, that look of a Greek god was always my style because, I wanted to always have a flat stomach. I didn't want to have a big, overeating, some people don't understand that there is too much on somebody and people don't realize that,
Well, it's got to be a great compliment, a modern day, really analytical technician, probably someone who really prides himself on that, and that's Ben Pakulski came to you to help him. So that speaks volumes for that part of your game, right?
Right. And so that's the one thing I try to teach all the people for the Warrior Challenge is I wanted to make an affordable program to teach and correct techniques, not only with the posing, which I'm a known master of, but I come from a whole tree of learning from the best that I could sort out or that I could seek out growing up.
Let me ask you something. Who is your ideal client, right? What if I have all these memories back, you know, just say I was single in my early 30s or late 20s, and I really, bodybuilding was everything to me, and I would read about you in the magazines. Now, you know, I'm approaching 50, and I'm a businessman, right? And I want to get back in shape, and now I can afford it. I can afford top quality premium service. How do I get a hold of Chris Cormier? And is that your ideal? You know, who's your ideal, your avatar client? You know, who you work with best? Because I know you can work with young, you can work with old, with competitors, with posing, for just the guy getting in shape. I mean, do you do it all, or do you specialize in certain clients?
I do it all because I understand. I think now that I'm older, I understand what someone that a 50-year-old person or a 40-year-old person would need and not need to do at this age. Because I always look back and I see, you know, I don't want to hear what a guy who's 25 years old has to say.
right.
You don't know, because you think you know, but you don't know because you're just too young to know.
Well, yeah. The thing about it is, not only have you done it, I mean, you know, one of the best trainers in the world talk about your mindset, this mindset that you learned from Joe Weider, Robbie Robinson. How do you put that on a spreadsheet, right? And that's the rocket fuel that makes all these strategies work. And you don't have that at 25. They get it from a guy like you.
Right? Exactly. And it's like, how do you, that's like, you know, and then it, you know, the thing was, is, you know, that I've been noticing is that everyone's learning from someone, but everyone's a coach of a lot of people also. So it's like there's teams within teams, and there's coaches within coaches. And it's like, you know, the thing is, someone learned a certain certain way to get in shape or a certain whatever, but then they want to go to teaching it when they didn't really master it
right.
Anyway, so like I said, I don't, even at the early 30s, you don't really know what you know in the 40s, and you don't. So it's like, I see a lot of people, you know, they have a great physique, okay, yeah, but teaching someone something that you've been a God-given structure or something like that, it's not the same as someone who went through all the channels, went through all the years on stage, went through all the, the different battles, and then they start to teach at an age where they feel like they mastered it all. Like 20-some years old, 25 years old, even when I look back, I don't know half of the stuff that I've learned now. And that's why I wasn't really trying to teach, even though I was a trainer at 18 years old back in Palm Desert. I was a personal trainer and I worked in a gym, but I was just going through the paces of here, lift this, lift that.
Yeah, right. I want to know what you think. I personally, you know, applaud someone who wants to step up and become a leader. And even if he's 25 years old, if he's done 5 shows, he's way more advanced and can guide that person who's never done a show, right? I think it's, if you're a master at what you do, just because it's so competitive now with YouTube, with the internet, you're competing against that 25-year-old. And that's when a master like you has to step up their marketing game to say, hey, look, that guy can help you, but if you want premium service, this is who I am. Tell me how you've adjusted to market your services. I mean, I'm curious, though, if you had it your way, I mean, do you just love the competing so much, or would you take more of a premium price for a really dedicated 50-year-old who has more of the financial means? I mean, I would think a guy like you has a lot of demand, and I'm just wondering what you gravitate, what do you enjoy the most? What type of client?
Well, I have different services and different prices for different situations and people. Uh-huh. Like I said, you know, just being at that age, being at the age I am now, and all the competitions and all the countries and all the people I came across, it's, you know, I have a guy, you know, His name is Barry. Barry Alfred. He owns his a cologne that's in a lot of the major department stores, and he used to play football for Arizona State, and he was actually the roommate of Pat Tillman.
Okay,
college roommates. Who is an incredible person, that, you know, rest in peace. He came to me because he just watched me in the gym for a while, and then he was like, he wanted to get a trainer, but he had been a Division I football player, but he's 40 years old now, and he wanted to, you know, he's the CEO of his own business,
right.
But he actually wanted to get some real teaching, some real instruction, and he watched me. Like he said, he watched me. And he noticed how I went about the way I would teach people, and the different strict form that I would teach, and the strict, you know, everything's. I'm not just saying, okay, here, grab this and do this exercise. Anyone in this sport or in this business can point out, here, do this exercise, that exercise. But I go through, like, I'm watching every single rep, and I'm making sure you're doing a certain way the whole time. The whole time that you're actually involved with the repetition or the set, and it's
yeah. Well, no, I could definitely see where, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there. They all at their level. I can see where, you know, a successful person who understands success is universal, that they're going to be attracted to you. Like, you're like the Nordstroms of trainers, and those people who are in that market looking for premium service can see that in you. I would think that would be, I guess what I'm, see, I would think that would be the majority of your clientele. And it would be really tough, you know, that you'd spend most of your time there. But it sounds like you just love posing and training so much. You probably make yourself available, even if, you know, to the competitors too, right?
Yeah, of course. And I do love the process that it takes, and I do love teaching the proper way to manifest your physique into something that you probably never thought you could even obtain. Uh-huh. And that's fun for me, because I can usually tell my clients what I'm going to do before I even do it. And I say, okay, we're gonna add a little bit of here. We're gonna try to bring this, your waist down. We're gonna try to broaden the look of your shoulders and your upper chest, this part of your back. We're gonna thicken up this area in your quads, and I make it all happen. And so I work with people who's not even competing; uh-huh. They just want to learn, and it's online. And so I'm working worldwide now.
Okay.
It's not just
when they go to the grind.guru, there's a form for them to fill out to start the process of entertaining the idea to work with you, right? Am I right?
Right.
So that's the best way to start the process, is going to the grind.guru?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll obtain different information that will help me get to know their physiques and the goals and desires, and is there any illness I need to be aware of, any type of injuries that they've been through before, and in an easy payment plan I use. It's not like these thousands and thousands of dollars that a lot of these people charge, but they can get a personalized diet, personalized training system. And
now, is this all done online? I know that you're what's travel like? You know, you talked about it when you were, you know, younger and competing. How often are you on an airplane these days?
Well, like, I'm going to be at this California State Championships this year, which is I got a bodybuilder competing this year here there. Next week, I'm going to be traveling to Italy. I'll be down at the Rimini Expo. I was just in Germany for the FIBO, which has been a prominent business trip for me the last few years. I was starting going there since 1994, so I went there a number of years to Germany for that. And then we're gonna do the Legends. I mean, I was just in Australia. I did the Australian, did some seminars in Australia, like three seminars for the Arnold Classic up there with Tony Doherty's putting on that. Also, I did some teaching in China a couple of times. I went to China and ventured out there and visited a lot of people.
Yeah. So when you go to these cities, like when you're going to be in Santa Clara at the end of June, how do these people, you know, set this up on social media? How do they know that you're going to be in their town? So if they want to drive a couple hours and book some time in advance, so that they can guarantee an hour or so, whether it's just talking, you talk about strategy. I mean, how does this all happen? So Northern California, Santa Clara, the end of July. Is it the best way to go to the grind.guru, or do you give out a phone number or a specific email address? How do people, you know, really?
Yeah, I could. I have a email. I have a rdteamtraining@gmail.com. Okay. I have a phone number that it could reach me at 323-208-9557. That's 323-208-9557.
Okay.
And like I said, rdteamtraining@gmail.com. They can reach me there if they have trouble on the grind.guru.
Okay.
That's been, you know, in my Instagram with Chris Comer too, that you referenced to earlier. I've been getting a lot of inquiries about training. A lot of young guys, they're really interested in what was my mindset? How did I get in shape the way I did? How did I shape my body in the physique that I had? Because that's the newest look is, you know, this physique category.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like myself, you know, Flex Wheeler,
right,
people like that. We were like sort of those physique type style bodies. And, you know, as opposed to they had the big thing with the mass monsters and the you know, the people who was really detailed. I was always like a detailed physique. And I think a lot of the physique guys look as if I was some type of role model for them, even though it was, you know, some time ago.
Right. Yeah. No, that's awesome. All right, Chris, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to know what life's like for you now. I want to, as you look back and maybe some life lessons. So if you're the big brother or a father figure, even to some of these really young guys getting into this, some, you know, sage advice. All right. If you don't mind doing that.
Sure. That'd be great.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the real deal, Chris Cormier.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is Sean Ray, Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder. I put not only my body through some vicious conditioning, but my skin has also taken a beating as well. For years, I've subjected my skin to the tanning beds and tanning products. I've spent a lifetime of training to look good and feel good. But just because I no longer compete doesn't mean I've stopped taking care of myself. I'm constantly trying to fight the hands of time and have clean, young, and healthy-looking skin in the process. That's why I've joined Miriam International, my number one choice of skincare in my quest for looking forever young. There's never been a skincare product made specifically for dealing with the tone and texture issues that I've had in moisturizing and rehydrating my skin all at the same time. This product is truly making a difference in the fight against natural aging process. Don't take my word for it. Just look at my skin. For more information on this number one anti-aging skincare product, visit my website at SeanRayskincare.com.
We are back in this Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast, this special series of podcasts, and this is the Legends Seminar Series with everyone who is going to be in Santa Clara at the end of June. Lee Haney, Rich Gaspari, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler, Mike Christian, and our guest today, the real deal, Chris Cormier.
Yes, I'm really excited about the seminar myself because each bodybuilder on the poster has inspired me in some kind of way, form of fashion throughout my whole career from the time I started, and they continue to inspire me now as my years went on. But each one, I have a special story to tell about each person on this poster that really inspired me. And I'm, I'm glad to be able to inspire others also, but, you know, that's following myself.
Now, so with Lee Haney, you know, have you got a lot of chance to connect with him over the years in person?
Yes, I have, because I even, like, I used to know word for word what he would say on his videos and stuff, and I just had to, at a special time, sometimes when I'd see him, to even convey that to him and impersonate him to him.
Oh, really? Okay. And you've talked about what an influence Sean Ray had as you were just getting started in bodybuilding. Tell me about your relationship with Mike Christian.
Well, Mike, like I said, he was the very first bodybuilder, the prominent bodybuilder I actually saw pose. He was the first guest poser at the first competition
went
to. And so when I moved to Venice to see him, actually when I would go to Venice after that competition, I would see Mike walking around training, being pretty loud in the gym, and I'd hear him. I remember he was complaining about eating fish and water. None but fish and water on his diet for the last 6 weeks, and he was training for the Mr. Olympia. And I remember the guys, I'd just go up there just to get a glimpse of who was in the Gold's Gym as a teenager, like I said, when I was 15 and 16. And I remember him vividly in my head. Still to this day, I could see it all. Yeah. And then when I started training there, just to become friends with Mike, and we also had a lot of personal times that, you know, good times and bad times, the way I was kind of there for Mike and we was there for each other, different situations. So really, it's really an honor for myself to be in a position to where we're, you know, working together like this.
Cause
you know, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, and you know, Flex Wheeler and, Sean and all these guys.
What's your biggest memory of all those times about Flex Wheeler?
Well, Flex, just coming up, when I first met him, at the Mr. California back in 89 was the first time I saw him. I already had the name Flex tattooed on my leg.
And you talked about how he was just this small frame guy with all this muscle on him, huh?
Yeah, he was a little kid, like a little baby face kid. And he had both his arms in his lap, so that made him even look smaller. Because he wasn't like the widest guy, but he had all this muscle on his little type of frame. And then I was just coming just to see who was in the show. And, okay, I'm going to do this show next year. And I ended up winning the show the very next year after him. And we kind of followed each other's career. Like, he'd win the year at the California, then I'd win the California. He went for the USA. He didn't win it. I went for the USA. I placed fourth behind him. He took second, but we formed this type of crew to where we was after chasing the same dreams, and I was one of the. We was, you know, at the time we was just young and trying to make it. It was you know, we just drinking chocolate milk for our RTDs, and we were working together, training together, and we started to become friends where we. Most of our meals was eaten together, and we had a, you know, really special relationship. Myself, him, and Flex, and my other friend Rico McClinton. So, yeah, it was a special crew, and I wish we could have did a lot more things together because everybody was, you know, was kind of watching what we were going to do next and how we were going to do it, and seeing how we were going to come out successfully.
Yeah, and Rich Gaspari, I mean, I tell you, what a pioneer of modern bodybuilding and conditioning and what he's done in business. I mean, how much have you had the personal contact with Rich over all these years?
Yeah, I had the same with Rich. I was watching him closely because I was pretty much astonished with how young he was, 22 years old, to be in the Mr. Olympia, to place, I believe, second, I believe, to Lee Haney. If Lee wasn't around, he would have been in Mr. Olympia for many times over, I'm sure. And that paper skin thin look that he came up with, you know, I remember all his. I could still hear the music that he would pose to, and then later on, I'd be able to, you know, get to know him on a level that's, you know, he wasn't on stage, but, you know, as his business was going around and I see him at different shows, just talk to him personally. He always been a really cool cat. I went to his book signing party that he had also, and he signed a book for me, like Never Give Up, Never Give In type of thing he wrote in my book.
Yeah.
And that was at the time where I kind of needed it, you know?
Uh-huh,
so, And it's good because you still see him training hard to this day.
Right, right, right. Well, it's just going to be an awesome experience having all these legends in one place. And again, that's the Legends Seminar. It's going to be in Santa Clara, California on Saturday, June 27th.
Yeah, and I'm super happy to be a part of it. I'm totally, this is like one of my biggest accomplishments to be on a poster with these great athletes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And for those of you who can't make it, we'll have some special footage. If you go to legendsseminar.com, we're going to do everything we can to get you a piece of this great bodybuilding experience. All right. So that's awesome, Chris.
Thank you. It's going to be great. Cannot wait.
Great. Okay, Chris. We talked about this bodybuilding career. We talked about what you're doing to help out the new crop of not just bodybuilders, fitness, physique competitors, fitness competitors, bikini competitors. I've seen you do that online, some famous bikini competitors. But also, you know, the businessmen who want premium service, getting themselves in shape, right? So, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But tell me, what's life like now? I mean, how does it feel like before you're on that airplane you talked about with the guys going all over the world? Now, you know, as you go into this phase of your life, is it slower? I mean, what's family life? I mean, how have you, because a lot of guys who were your age, they're now your age now, right? And they've gone to a different phase, and they probably want to know what your life is like now.
it's a lot slower now than it was, but I do, you know, like travel sometimes, like for instance, when I went to Arnold Classic in Australia, I was on the same plane with all the bodybuilders, and it was just like you said, it's almost like a spark of like, oh yeah, like I'm going to the bathroom, about ready to check my abs maybe, because I used to spend time in the bathroom posing like on my way to competitions. And I remember when I was going there, I've seen all the bodybuilders on stage on the plane, and it was just like kind of set me back to like you have that competitive fire still inside you, you know, like you know. But you
well,
know,
did I, you have like some young 21-year-old? Has he called you Mr. Cormier yet? Has that happened?
Oh yeah, that's happened a few times, and some of them just they keep calling me Mr. Cormier.
Yeah. how was it transitioning? I mean, for somebody's, you know, their physical body was their highlight. I mean, now you're into your physique, of course, but you're now transitioning to this businessman, right? But you know, again, for the guys who were your age who connected to you in their prime, and you know, maybe they're married and have kids and let the body go, and that's just a distant memory, right? Getting older, right? I mean, wow, the years have gone by quickly, haven't they, right? I mean, how are you adjusting to life?
Fast, man. It's like, that's what I try to convey that to so many people I work with. Like, you know, you have to do all you can now, and I wish, you know, if you have someone of even, you know, my stature, or like, let's say when I was coming up, if you look up to someone enough to where, you know, I'm going to take what this guy is saying because he's been there. And a lot of people don't really think that way. But, you know, when, like, let's say if I would have taken my dietary whatever the supplements, the food, whatever you're going to eat a certain way, like, why not do it year round? Why not take it full advantage of what you're trying to do? You got a goal in your head or whatever. Why not go the extra mile while you can do it? Because you never know, you know, tomorrow's not promised. That's one thing you learn as you get older.
Yeah. You know, Chris, when you look back, right, I mean, it was all that effort that made that time so rewarding. I mean, do you feel like with the new crop of bodybuilders, the mentality is to push back from that
supreme, that extreme effort, as and they see it as a bad thing, and they want that so-called balance in life more while they're competing for a show. Do you see that mentality cropping in with some of the people you work with?
Yeah, I do. The thing is, you know, you're doing this for a short amount of time. If you step out of the actual competition phase of it, it's not that long to put all you have into something. And, I think the mentality changed a little bit in the gym because, you know, before we'd just train and train and train. Now you see people stopping for a selfie.
Right.
Or you gotta stop and try to, they have promoting on social media involved in each workout.
Yeah.
You look around left and right, guys, girls, you know, they're in the mirror with their phones and stuff. That was never something you even thought of back then. They have a lot of different styles and different mentalities during the workout.
As you look back, isn't that what made it so sweet? You know what I mean? I think that, are they kind of robbing themselves of really intense memories by striving for this balance while they're doing all that?
Yeah, it's totally, I don't know, it's hard to put my finger on it, but it's, you know, I know, you know, with today's likes and followers, yeah. I know it's necessary to
do
little things like that, but...
Yeah, I mean, I see that, you know, you've got the old school work mentality, but, you know, you're still, you know, on Instagram. I mean, you're still on Twitter promoting your business, so, you know, we respect how well we have to do and, you know,
right.
This current age, but it's like new school promotion like you're doing with old school work ethic to get the old
right.
school results, right?
Yeah, so each day I wake up, you know, I'm seeing what am I going to do to keep myself going on a up and up with my business and also teaching the word. I always kind of put out there a little something that I thought of, my mindset
uh-huh.
back in the day, getting, and conveying that message to the younger generation. But it's always been important to me because I always made I have a couple guys getting ready for the USA that I've worked with for a number of years, John Ward. He took second last year in the super heavyweights, and I sort of mentored him on a different aspects of bodybuilding, how I did it, how I seen the mistakes or the pluses that I put forth in my career. Also, Cody Montgomery, I met him as a young teenager when he was 17,
uh-huh.
and he went on to win 3 teenage national titles, which is unprecedented. All these people have been under my wing, and I have, I mentor these guys, and you know, sometimes they go have little personal situations they're dealing with, and I try to be there for them on different areas that they probably almost like a bigger brother, type of thing. And
what would be one piece of advice like that? You know, you've been there, you've probably made some mistakes along the way, a lot of victories, obviously. What nugget of advice can you give some guy coming up? Maybe you didn't do it exactly right, but if you had another chance at it, not taking away from everything you accomplished, I'm curious, what might that be?
Like I said, keeping more focused at the different times when it was when my focus kind of went down,
uh-huh.
you know. But I did plenty of shows, but it was like, I thought it was going to last forever type of thing. Just kind of keep in mind that, you know, you don't know when your day is coming, when you're not going to be able to do what you're going to do. You don't know if you're going to get hurt. You don't know if you're going to do something outside of the gym even that's going to stop you from doing what you do right now.
Yeah.
And to keep that in mind the whole time, not doing things outside of the box of what you're trying to accomplish. Has a lot to do with you going as far as you want to go or, you know, taking the different aspects of your training, whether it's diet, whether it's home life, you know, whatever it is. And I had some people, some really prominent people in my corner coming up that was, you know, trying to help steer me in the right direction. Just kind of keep in perspective what, you know, what goals you have, what are you trying to do with this physique that you're trying to bring to whatever level that is. But just trying to stay within, you know, that thinking of, you know, tomorrow's not promised type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most valuable lessons that I try to teach the younger guys.
Yeah. Now, you're that mentor that was so instrumental in your foundation, in your great career. Now you have the opportunity to do that for these young guys. That's got to feel great.
And, huh? I like some of the different magazines that I did articles for or something growing up, because, like, some of these guys is like 30 years old. They're like repeating to me things I said years ago, you know. I'm like, I remember you said this, and remember you said that, or,
and then you go, no, but that sounds brilliant. I said that. Wow. Yeah.
Stick a quarter inside of your quads, is the striations so deep. You like something like that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this mindset, this attitude, I tell you, you've really inspired me just talking to you. And these guys get a chance to get that mindset along with this, you know, technician that you are, breaking down the strategies. And again, you know, I just want to, you know, whether you are a teenager, you know, you talked about with, you know, Cody, right? Whether you're a teenager just starting off and you have the determination and the mindset to go straight to the top, to get that foundation set up like Chris was able to do, work some of the greats like Robbie Robinson and Sean Ray during those formative years. If you're aggressive and you want to go straight to the top and get that type of mentorship, this is where you get it. Go straight to the real deal. 323-208-9557. The guy makes himself that accessible to the most committed people. But again, teenage bodybuilder who wants that foundation to be set up, someone who's all the way to someone who's trying to break into those pro ranks. And like, he's worked with Ben Pokolsky, actual pro. So he's got the whole thing covered. Bikini, figure, men's physique, right? I don't want to limit, you know, what Chris has available to you. But I want you to talk a little bit more about the Warrior Challenge. We touched on that. I want you to get a little bit more specific, because this allows you people all around the world who can't travel all the way to California, right? You have the service all in this Warrior Challenge. So tell me a little bit more about that, where I can be in a foreign country in a different time zone and I can still get some of the real deal.
Yes. And I do just online coaching, so I could reach out worldwide, and you don't have to be confined to this one gym and seeing who comes in or who is going to be able to fly to you, drive to you, or something like that. So this online coaching program developed to help people learn the correct techniques. I'm a stickler on the mind-muscle connection philosophy, high-intensity type training, spending less time, the shortest time possible to get the most results is sort of like what I like to teach, building a complete physique. It's affordable for people that can't afford to fly to Venice for a month and train with me. It's I have clients worldwide, including Australia, India, China, Finland, Sweden. I'm up at different hours of the night to help my clients online. It's a custom program. We have set for people to challenge their goals, and we work together for 4 months in this achievement, paying monthly of $195 for some people. It varies in prices compared to, you know, how much they want to have me available to them on Skype or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The website is thegrind.guru.
Okay.
We really get into, we focus on our careers. If you're 40 years old, you want to get in the best shape of your life, helping people get into the greatest look that they ever achieved. And a lot of people loving it because you know, the first 2 weeks they're seeing a difference right away. And that's the thing, you start to see faster results in a manner to where you can they have a fast result in whether the diet, whether it's the training, whether it's analyzing the physiques, I analyze their training techniques and making sure they're doing their repetitions how I want them to be. If I do teach posing online also on Skype, and I could tell them exactly what they need to do, how to present their physiques in the best way possible, no matter what category it's in. You do have a certain eye for this that I've, you know, it's been over the years, which I've watched so many physiques, so many competitions, so many people worldwide, and I feel like I'm one of the best to go to when it comes to getting the most out of a physique. And I think even with the physique guys today, I had some kind of connection with Jeremy Medina. He's the physique Mr. Olympia right now. I've helped him at a young age.
Wow.
Even when he was working out as a bodybuilder, he would come down here and I would teach him certain things in the gym or different. We did some photo shoots together that taught him
the whole professionalism, so, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then a couple of the top bodybuilders, Akeem Williams. I worked with him over in New York.
Now, did you work with him online, or did you go out to New York and meet
I was
him?
Actually in New York.
Okay.
I was coming home from the FIBO, and I was contacted by John De La Rosa, and he wanted to actually come to Venice and train with me. But I said, oh, you know, I could stop over and see you right there in New York. So I ended up going there, training with, also put Victor Martinez through a good leg workout. And teaching these guys, him, Akeem Williams, he's like one of the strongest guys that's out there in the New York City area. So those three guys they were pretty amazed with the amount of weight that I was using, with the feel that they got, the mind-muscle connection that they was able to connect with me. We ended up doing a seminar together about the Warriors Challenge seminar, to where I'm actually was promoting and also teaching my mind-muscle connection with my seminars. So it's been like it's been catching on great. It's been, like I say, everyone's been really happy with it that's been involved with it. They're all learning something that they probably never even thought about. I'm just really detailed when it comes to the physique, and I've always been that way since day one, and to be able to convey that and teach that.
Well, you're really taking advantage of modern technology. That's a long way from when you had to save some money and sleep in your car to get this type of mentorship back in the day, right?
That's right.
Now they could just log on and get a hold of Chris Cromier, the real deal, right?
Yeah, because so, I've been like you say, when I was a teenager, I was that guy too. I would come up here and, you know, to save a little money from putting in a hotel, I would just sleep in my car, go up there, and I'd take showers at Gold's Gym, and then go down here and train a couple of times in that day, eat, take a nap out there on the beach, just like they did in Pumping Iron.
Uh-huh.
You know, go back to the gym again, train, and I'd go back and sleep in my car again.
Don't make it too easy for him, Chris. Right? So you could get with Chris on thegrind.guru. He's on Instagram, very active there. Chris Cormier 2, the number 2, CHRISCORMIER, the number 2. On Twitter, he's RD Cormier, RD for the real deal, RDCORMIER. And you know what? He gave out his personal email address to you guys, the aggressive ones. So if you're not aggressive and committed, don't bother emailing him, right? So, and you better hurry up too. So that's RD.
team training. So real deal team training, rdteamtraining@gmail.com. And his phone number is 323-208-9557. That's 323-208-9557. And if you're in Northern California, Saturday, June 27th in Santa Clara, the Legend Seminar with Chris, Lee Haney, Rich Gaspari, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler, and Mike Christian, and I'll be there to help facilitate with these legends. And you'll be able to see clips and more interviews, and we're going to have another one of these podcasts. We're going to have all the legends online. You're going to be able to call in, so look for that as that Legend Seminar gets closer. So you'll be able to actually call in on the line. So you want to check these same circles. Leave your email address at legendseminar.com, right? So you'll be posted. I'll keep you posted on when all these podcasts with these legends become available. Also, special video footage and special interviews, special content only for those special members to legendseminar.com. You'll hear a lot more from Chris. So, Chris, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for the memories, everything you've done in the past for all of us bodybuilding fans. And thank you so much for what you're doing for the new crop of bodybuilding fans.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say, if any gym owners, they can also can email me if they want me to come to their gym, teach my mind-muscle connection workshop. They can have me come to their gym especially, or I think, you know, like you said, my email is there, rdteamtraining@gmail.com, and we can set it up where we can come to a gym near you and personally help you. You know, it's been great to go around and teach people from the beginning. And that's another thing. I also, you know, went to learn how to actually teach people at different ages. It's not just top bodybuilders, but it's a younger crowd. I always had a special bond with the teenagers coming up. So, and the older crowd. Like I said, I'm very experienced with that, so it's I think it's great to teach at this age and to master it in all these different areas, and you know that's always been my thing. So I'm just glad to be able to get out and reach out to people around the world now. Also, follow me at Warrior Challenge on Instagram.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you again so much. I know that you're going to be opened up to a whole new fan base, and I'm sure your existing worldwide fan base loves hearing all about the stories and connecting with you here today on this podcast. So thank you so much for taking this time out of your busy schedule. For the real deal, Chris Cormier, I am Skip LaCour. Thank you for listening to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Are you interested in one-on-one coaching with Skip LaCour, but you aren't quite sure it's a good fit for you? That's totally understandable. Unless you've had one-on-one coaching in the past or have talked to someone in-depth who's had a great experience with coaching, it can be a real challenge to appreciate its full power and recognize the positive impact it will have on your life. You can get all of your questions about coaching answered by talking to Skip LaCour directly on the phone. Schedule a free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour directly about your current situation, the goals you want to achieve, and the challenges you believe are standing in your way. Skip works exclusively with men who are the most committed to their success. He'll gladly take the time to explain all of the benefits of his one-on-one coaching programs and determine if the two of you would be a good match moving forward into such a close, consistent, and intense working relationship. Schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching right now by going to www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk. Once again, that website address to schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching is www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk.